Well, good morning again and welcome to worship. Last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter, a day when we joyfully proclaimed that Jesus came out of the grave. Or do we really proclaim it? Did we leave here Sunday proclaiming to other people, proclaiming to the world, proclaiming to the waitress or anybody else? Did you get on the phone? Did you text? What did you do to proclaim that Jesus came out of the grave? Or is Easter about kids, candy, dresses, little bow ties, and colored eggs? Let me ask you, when you woke up Easter Sunday, were you seeking Jesus? Or were you seeking what good stuff the people had made for breakfast? Or were you seeking Jesus, or were you worried about your hair? Probably not Randy, but that's okay. You look beautiful, Randy. Well, were you seeking Jesus, or were you considered or worried about how beautiful the sanctuary might be decorated? Were you seeking Jesus, or were you wondering what kind of sermon or service we would have? On the first Easter Sunday, only a handful of women were seeking Jesus. One of them, Mary Magdalene. We heard Jake read from John the account of her weeping when she saw the body was gone. And Jesus approaches her, and thinking he was the gardener, Mary says to him, "They have taken my Lord away," and she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Who is it you are looking for? Not just a question for Mary, but a question for you. Who is it you are looking for? The women were out seeking Jesus, and where were the disciples? They were in hiding. The women loved Jesus, they wept for him, and even in death, they sought to find him and to serve him. The question is, are you seeking Jesus, and have you found him? In 1994, Tom Hanks and Gary Sinise starred in the hit film Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump first meets Lieutenant Dan in Vietnam, and Lieutenant Dan loses his legs there. Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan reconnect in New York City after the war. Lieutenant Dan has turned to drinking and is very upset with the world. And in one scene, Lieutenant Dan talks about the old-timers at the VA who talk about Jesus this and Jesus that. Lieutenant Dan asked Forrest Gump, "Have you found Jesus?" And Forrest Gump replies, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." The question is, have you found Jesus? Or are you like Forrest Gump? You didn't know you were supposed to be looking for him. Maybe you're like Lieutenant Dan, you're full of anger and you're avoiding him. Maybe you are full of fear like the disciples and hiding from Jesus, hiding from the world. Maybe you are hiding and not seeking Jesus because of shame. A relationship with God is not about hide and seek. This is a problem that man has had since the beginning of time. In Genesis it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden and in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" God made us for a relationship with him. He created a garden for us to be in, a place for us to work and take care of things on his behalf, a place where we could walk with God. But notice that sin and shame is what first separated us from God. Adam and Eve had sinned. Instead of seeking God after they sinned, Adam and Eve hid. They created the separation. Do you see that? They sinned and then they hid from God. It's like I try to tell my boys, if you break something, come find me and tell me you broke it. Don't hide it. Don't lie about it. Don't deny it. Right? As parents, isn't that what we want? Just tell us the truth up front, because there's a lot less trouble, isn't there? They should have sought forgiveness. They should have sought God's love and grace. But guilt and fear are powerful enemies. Guilt and fear will keep us from God. See, we must seek God. But most of us do not fully seek Him out. Some of us only seek God for a short time, or we want to seek God but from a distance. Oh, I see God over there. Even the disciples on Resurrection Sunday got it wrong. Prior to Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, the other women went and found the empty tomb, and then they reported it to the disciples and Peter and John. They go running to the tomb. It says, so Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. You wonder why that was in there. You ever wonder about some things in Scripture? John was bragging a little bit there. He's the writer saying, I outran Peter. Isn't that pretty good? Something interesting, but he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. So just as they should have, they went running to the tomb. They even dared to go inside, but they didn't get it. The Scripture tells us that, verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. You see, they wanted to find Jesus. They went and looked in the tomb, but then they stopped short of continuing to look for Jesus. What did they do? They just went back to what they were doing. Instead of walking around, instead of searching the whole graveyard, instead of going into the town, instead of finding him, they went right back into hiding. But I think this is exactly how many of us act each and every Sunday. We have heard the news about Jesus in the tomb. We come to church, but like the disciples, we don't fully get it. And we go right back to our lives without seeking Christ any further, without living out the experience of Christ. Think of it this way. You can hear about Disney and all the wonderful attractions that Disney World has. You can talk about Disney based on the stories that you have heard or videos you may have seen. You can say, yes, I know there's a Disneyland. But believing there is Disney does not mean you have experienced Disney. You can drive to California or Florida and drive around the parks and see it. You can see people going in and out. You can see people riding the rides. And you can say, hey, that looks like fun. But you have not yet experienced Disney, have you? You can even buy a ticket and walk inside and walk through the whole park. But if you don't do any rides, if you don't see any shows, if you don't play any of the games or eat any of the good food, then you haven't experienced Disney. But once you have gone in, once you have fully experienced everything they have to offer, the games, the food, and the shows, you leave there and you can't wait to share your fun with people. And you can't wait to go back and experience it again. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. She is ready to go back to Disney. Because when you fully experience it, when you let go and you be a kid again, it is fun to go and experience Disney. But we treat Jesus the same way. You can hear about Jesus or the church, but it doesn't mean you've experienced it. You can drive by a church and you can see people going in and out. You can see people maybe worshiping and you can say that looks like a nice place, but you have not experienced it. You can actually attend church. You can go through the whole service and not really experience it. And then you can just go home and maybe try again next week. When you come here, Who is it you are looking for? Did you come to seek Jesus? Did you come to experience it? Have you ever gotten lost in a praise song that moved you? Maybe a hymn that really touched you? Has God's word ever spoken to you? Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit while taking communion? Have you ever felt Jesus in a hug? This should be a place where you experience and meet Jesus every time that you come. You see, the disciples came just to look at an empty tomb. But Mary came to seek Jesus. Do you see the difference there? That's how people look at the church today, as an empty tomb, don't they? The church is just nothing anymore. The church is just an empty tomb to most people. It's dead. It has no relevance. And the disciples came and said, yep, that's an empty tomb. And then they went right back to hiding. But you see, Mary came to seek Jesus. And most of us are like Forrest Gump, and we don't even know we're supposed to be looking for him. But you see, if you earnestly seek Jesus, you will find him. And when you find him, it will change your life. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. If you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." Did that describe you coming to church this morning? Proverbs 8:17, he says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." We don't walk into church and just accidentally run into Jesus. You have to diligently seek him. Jeremiah 23:19, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Kind of says it there, doesn't it? 2 Chronicles, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That's what should be in our front yards and not any other political signs. I don't care what candidate you want. I don't care who you want to vote for in 2020. I really don't. Because as Christians, we should pray and seek his face, turn from the wicked ways, and then God will hear us from heaven, will forgive our sins, and will heal our land. Jonah 2:2, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Matthew 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." But Jesus puts a condition here, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." From Acts chapter 17, "That they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him." We should be seeking God. Who is it you are looking for? We seek friends and relationships throughout our lives. We seek and follow people on email, Facebook, and other social media outlets. We look for people like doctors and mechanics when we need something fixed. But how many of us are seeking the one relationship that matters the most? How many of us are seeking and praying to Jesus? Every day we need to wake up and say, "Let me see you today, Lord. Let me see your will. Let me hear your words through the music. Talk to me through your scriptures. Speak to me through my friends and my family. Let me see your mighty works in the world. Let me see your healing touch. Every day we need to be seeking Jesus. And when you leave here today, are you just going to get in your car and just go back to your routine? Or are you just going to go to lunch and then go back home and then get on the TV or get on the internet or go to see a friend or go do this? And then tomorrow's Monday will be another Monday and Tuesday will be your routine Tuesday. And then before you know, it's Saturday and it's, oh, well, we've got church tomorrow and then I'm going to have lunch again and then we're going to do this again. And it just becomes a routine and routine and routine. You see, if we want this church to grow, if we want to see this community changed, we got to go and seek Jesus first. Because if we're not seeking Jesus, everything else we do is for naught. It has to be about Jesus. When we come here, we shouldn't be saying, oh, that's not my favorite song. Oh, those aren't my favorite scriptures. Oh, that wasn't the funniest sermon I ever heard. We should come here seeking Jesus. We should come here thirsty for Him. We should be thirsty for Christian fellowship. We'd be thirsty for any kind of praise that honors God. Whether it's a classic hymn we've seen 100 times or it's a new song we're going to introduce. Wow, what a new way to praise God. Amen. But is that what we do? Is that the kind of life that you lead? For some of you, I know you well. And I would say some of you, the answer is yes. But for many of us, let's be honest with ourselves. Was that on your mind when you woke up this morning? The alarm went off and you said, "Woo, another Sunday. Woo, another song. Wow, read those scriptures, Jake. Yes, good stuff." Because that's the way we should be. That's the kind of people God wants. And then think about it from the outside. Someone who's never been to church, why do you go? Because do we spend more time complaining about things at church? Or do we spend more time praising God about things that the church is doing? Because I'm guessing it's probably the first. Ugh, you know what that person wore today? Ugh, do you know what this person said? Oh, can you believe what happened at the church? Oh, can you? We're not out praising God. We're not out praising the church. We're not seeking Jesus. And the world goes, I don't want to be a part of that. You want people to be a part of this church? You want to start bringing people in? Then we got to start being the kind of people that seek Jesus. Because when you seek Jesus, you will find Him and He will change you. And I think that's probably the biggest scare. Some of us don't want to be changed. We like our lives. We like our routine. We like the comfort of just being. Because God is going to call us to do things outside of our comfort zone. Do you think Moses was very happy after the burning bush? He wasn't very happy, was he? You want me to go do what? You want me to go face Pharaoh? He wasn't very excited, was he? Jonah wasn't very excited to go preach, was he? Most of the prophets were not excited to bring God's message because most of them got stoned and ran out of town. The disciples, do you think they were excited? They certainly weren't the first few days, were they? Hidden in the upper room. When they were told the greatest news ever, Jesus is not in the tomb. Took some arm twisting, didn't it? He spent another 40 days talking to them, teaching them, preaching to them. Get it. Please get it because I'm leaving. And you got to carry this message to the world. It changed Mary when he talked to her. And he said her name, Mary. I hope today that you hear God say your name. Because we need to live differently. Because if we do not live differently, then why do we come? We need to be different because God has called us to be different. I pray that each Sunday you are seeking Jesus when you come here. And I pray that in some way, every day you seek Jesus. Because when you seek Jesus, it is life-changing. Who is it that you are looking for? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son came, lived, died, rose from the grave, and has ascended into heaven and now sits at your right hand. Lord, your plan for us has been to go and make disciples. Your Son Jesus called us to seek you, to love you with all that we have. And then likewise, because we love him, we should love one another. And because we love one another, we should seek to save the lost. Our job is to go and find the lost sheep, to tell them the good news, to share with them our risen Savior who died for our sins. But Lord, if we're not seeking you, if we're not seeking your Son, Jesus Christ, then we are just empty vessels hiding in our routine. Lord, whatever it is that's holding people back from seeking you, Lord, I ask you to touch them, to give them a comfort of knowing that they can be forgiven, that they will be forgiven should they seek it. Lord, there is nothing that any of us have done that you cannot turn and use for your glory. Lord, let us not be ashamed of our past, but let us celebrate our forgiveness. Let us share with the world that we are not what we once were. Let us be a changed and different kind of people. Let us be the people who seek out you. Let us people that seek out your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm telling you, seeking God, seeking Jesus is life-changing. And if we live as changed people, we become powerful witnesses. I don't want to fill this church because of my ego. I want to fill this church because there are lost people who need the good news of Jesus Christ. I want this church to be filled with people who are mission-oriented, who want to go out and seek and serve the lost. I want us to be an impact on this community. And because of our impact on this community, I want us to be an impact on the other churches and the other places in this county. And I want that to grow out of this county into the state of Ohio and the state of Kentucky and the state of Indiana. And if we start with our own renewal right here, right now, then we can start a renewal that can spread. A renewal and a revival that can take over this country. Because I don't know about you, we live in a sick world. Watch the news for 30 seconds and tell me it's different. We live in a sick, sick world. And there's only one true healer. And that healer is in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you seek Jesus Christ, he can heal you, he can change you, and he can use you. The roads aren't always perfect. But when you walk with God, you walk differently. Moses took on a task and he had 40 years of headaches, didn't he? But he took on the task that changed the world, didn't it? Because he led the nation of Israel. And because of that, the nation of Israel found their place. And because the nation of Israel found their place, the nation of Israel grew. And we had King David, and through King David's line gave us Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the new covenant of what God had promised, so that all people of all time could be his people. But they have to seek him. And there are lost sheep that don't know they need to seek Jesus, but you do. You have the message, you have the knowledge, and you have the ability. But you have to seek Jesus. You have to surrender to him and say, I will. May you go from here and seek first the kingdom of God. And therefore, may all those things be added unto you. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.